This is one of those long gospels. Please sit down. As I always say, I'd rather have you thinking about the words than when I'm going to stop so you can sit down. It's a long gospel, and it's by Luke. And Luke, as we've always said, is one of those writers who always talks about Christ in terms of majesty, power, authority, always presents him as one who speaks with authority, and that's the case here when he speaks with authority. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "Well, when you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you have a friend, and you give to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. Now fill it with your power and your spirit, as in his name we pray. Amen. By the way, I just want to take an opportunity before I start my message to thank all of our musical folks. I mean, from the bagpipers to Heather and Nathan Lockwood. By the way, I love your name, Nathan. If you don't know, actually it comes from a Hebrew word which means gift. So anytime some mom gets mad at you, say, "I'm a gift." But thank you for your sharing your gift with us, both of you. Anyways, this morning, I'm going to start my sermon, but actually this is the bulk of my sermon. It's a story. It's a story I would like to share with you. It's a story that when I first read really touched my heart, and I think it really does speak to what is the intent behind the words of the gospel writer Luke. So the story is written in the first person. So this is not me. This is the storyteller. And he tells, "One of my joys and passions is my voice." Sorry, seems appropriate today, doesn't it? "One of my joys and passion is my voice. I love to perform in our local community theaters. My throat became very sore, however, during a particular grueling show run. It was my first time performing an operatic piece, and I was terrified that I had actually done some damage to my vocal cords. I was a lead, and we were about to open. So I made an appointment with my family doctor, where I waited for an hour." Well, that's unusual in this story, isn't it? "I finally left in a huff, went back to work, grabbed a phone book, and found a throat specialist close by. Once more, I made an appointment, and off I went. The nurse showed me in, and I sat down to wait for the doctor. I was feeling very, very disgruntled. I rarely get sick, and here I was sick when I needed to be healthy. Besides, I had to take time out of my workday to go to 2 different doctors, both of whom kept me waiting. It was very frustrating. Why do these things have to happen?" Moment later, the nurse came back in and said, "May I ask you something personal?" Well, that seemed rather odd to me. I mean, what else do they ask but personal questions in a doctor's office? But I looked at the nurse and I replied very graciously and said, "Well, yeah, of course." "I noticed your hand," she said hesitantly. You see, I had lost half my hand in a forklift accident when I was 11 years old. I think it is one of the reasons I didn't follow my dream of performing in theater, although everyone says, "Gee, I never noticed. You're so natural." In the back of my mind, I thought that they only wanted to see perfect people on stage. No one would want to see me, but I love musical comedies, and I do have a great voice. So one day, I tried out at our local community theater. I was the first one they cast. That was 3 years ago. Since then, I have been cast in almost everything I tried out for. The nurse continued, "What I need to know is how this has affected your life." Never in the 25 years since it happened has someone asked me this. Maybe they'll say, "Does it bother you?" or things like that, but nothing as sweeping as, "How has it affected your life?" How has it affected my life? I thought about it a bit, so I could think of the right answer to say. Finally, I said, "It has affected my life, but not in a bad way. I do many things that people with two normal hands find difficult. I type about 75 words a minute. I play the guitar. I have ridden and shown horses for years, and I even have a housemaster's degree. I'm involved in musical theater, and I'm a professional speaker. I am constantly in front of a crowd. I do television shows about 4 or 5 times a year. I think it was never difficult because of the love and the encouragement of my family. They always talked about all the great notoriety I would get because I would learn how to do things with one hand that most people had trouble doing with two. We were all very excited about that. That was the main focus in my family, not the handicap." I said, "Your daughter does not have a problem. She is normal. You are the one who will teach her to think of herself as anything else. She will come to know she is different, but you must teach her that different is wonderful. Normal means you are average. And what's fun about that?" She was silent for a while, then she simply said, "Thank you," and walked out. I sat there thinking to myself, why do these things have to happen? Everyone, and everything happens for a reason. Even that forklift falling on my hand gave me a chance to speak to a woman with a daughter who had a deformed hand. All the circumstances leading up to being at this doctor's office and this moment in time happened for a reason. You know, this gospel lesson for this morning is about trust. It really is, it's about trust. About trusting that God has a plan for our lives. I always remember a professor of mine at the seminary who said that everything has a reason. The problem that we have in our life is that when we look at things, we see our lives in the moment-to-moment pieces. And sometimes, because of that, we wonder how this or that piece makes sense in our life. God, however, he said to us, looks at our entire life and sees how all of these pieces fit together. It is just a matter of trust, knowing that God can take even the bad things that happen to us in life and make of them something good. I guess it's like Paul said, all things work together for good to those that love God. In our story, God took a tragedy for this young man and turned it into a blessing for a young mother with a child with a deformed hand. The question in our story, and the question in the gospel lesson, is whose trust was blessed? The one who gave the gift, or the one who received it? And of course, the answer is yes. Amen.